This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather round. Please open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verse 31, where we left off last time. John chapter 3 verse 31. Just before we begin, I would like to invite the entire United States of America to join me here on my radio program, radio or internet, WMIEFM.com, on October 8th at this same time, Trumpet of Truth, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for America Come Home to God. Now my twin friend Scott Merson is going to again join me, and we're going to again call America to repentance, because that is our only hope. It's just before the election, so it's perfect timing. America, come home to God, right here on my radio program all over America. You can get me on the internet. Those of you in the local area, come to my school, enjoy the broadcast, and then stay for prayer. October 8th, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Trumpet of Truth. America, come home to God. And now, John 3:31. Last time, John the Baptist had introduced the world to Jesus, and Jesus to the world. So Jesus began his ministry, and Jesus was teaching, and his disciples were baptizing, and Jesus was drawing big crowds because of the miracles, not because of Jesus, but because of the show. And John the Baptist was still preaching and teaching and baptizing. So the phony church leaders, now they call themselves Judah. We love our brother Judah. But these are imposters. They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They say they are Judah, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 3:9, Revelation 2:9. And they wanted to interrupt. Satan always tries to divide any place where we are one heart, hearts knit together worshiping God. So they said, hey, Pastor John, you know that Jesus you promoted over there? He's stealing all of your flock, and he's got more than you. John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And now John continues to defend Jesus.
John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all.
He's saying, listen, that is God. In other words, I got the honor of baptizing God, Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. And so I'm just the clay pot, so I'm delighted. Jesus is the head and we're the body.
32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies.
So John continues to brag on Jesus. Jesus himself would say exactly what John said in other gospels. Jesus said, I do nothing except first I see my Father do it. I say nothing except I first hear my Father say it. Now you say, boy, I wish I could do that. No, 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 you can. Jesus told you, Christian, that the same things Jesus does, you can do in greater, because he goes to the Father. And he has sent you one like unto himself, the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're saved and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit is your paraclete. He's inside of you, he's alongside of you, and he guides you. So, now, wait for him to tell you what to say, and then say it. Wait for him to tell you what to do, and then do it. When you pray, let him pray it first and then you pray it. It won't sound badly to other people because it will flow. But you see, Isaiah says the Holy Spirit will say, go there, do that, say that, give that. So see, from now on in, when you start to pray, I know you've got organized words and we are supposed to pray specifically and pinpoint it, but let the Holy Spirit say it. It'll be da-da-da-da-da. If you were going to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I love you. He would say, Father, you say, Father, in Jesus' name, I love you, I love you. You see what I'm saying? It would be so. All the people would hear is you, but he would do it for you. If we could all learn to let the Holy Spirit do all the praying, every one of our prayers would be answered. Hallelujah.
no man received his testimony.
But John says they're not even accepting him. Now, crowds were coming to Jesus because of the fishes and the loaves and the miracles. Don't forget that most people love a good show. But boy, when it comes times to do the word, that's another story. And so Jesus himself would say later on, he would say, you come to me for the fishes and the loaves and the miracles, but you do not come to me for me. So Jesus would not commit himself to them. They did not receive Jesus then, and they do not receive him now. And Jesus himself would say, it's a wide, wide road that leads to eternal destruction, and many there be that go therein. Jesus said, it is a narrow, narrow path that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. But you want to be one of the few.
33. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is truth.
All right, John says, those who do receive him have the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, when you hear the truth on the third level, and when it registers with you, it is sealed in your forehead. In other words, King Jesus takes his signet ring and seals it with hot wax, hot Holy Spirit. When something is sealed, the truth is sealed in your forehead. For instance, I just taught the seven seals in Revelation. The seven seals, the seven trumps, the seven vials. And the truth of God's word we teach in here. When that is sealed in your forehead, in your mind, it also locks you in there, seals you in there, so that the lies cannot get in. You understand? That's what's so beautiful. You're sealed with the truth, and the lies are locked out. You can't be deceived. God told Satan in Revelation 9, Satan is the Antichrist. It's not a man out of Rome. It's not a human being. Anti instead of Christ. The king of the bottomless pit, there Apollon and Abaddon is all Satan, son of perdition. God has already told Satan, all right, I'm going to let you go down there and pretend to be Christ before I come, before my son comes. And I'm going to let you test the whole world and try to deceive them. But he said in Revelation 9, but any man or woman who has the seal of God in their forehead, that's the truth John is talking about, the truth, do not touch them. You know what it is? When you have the truth, nobody can touch you with a lie. A church on every corner, God says, I call it a house of ill repute. Where is my word? Once that truth has seeped in, soaked into your spirit, nobody can move you with a lie, because the truth sets you free.
Amen. 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God.
Oh, wow, that'll preach. Okay. Now, of course, Jesus is the word of God. Here's how you know if you're in the right congregation. Is it somebody's book, which is very, very good, that is written about the book, the Bible? Is it a quarterly? Is it a devotional book? All these things are good in their own place. He that is sent from God speaks the words of God. I have read thousands and thousands of books. I've learned so much. But what I have learned, that there is not one thing a man or woman can say to me or write in a book that is not already contained in God's love letter, the Bible. Everything that's going on right now, Obama's name is in Ezekiel. It says his name is Obama even to this day. The Antichrist coming. The fact that my ministry is called the trumpet of truth. Blow the trumpet. All of this. The angelic beings, the demons, the crosses in the air. Everything. What is your destiny? What's the next move? What's the next step? All of this is in God's word. So why don't we just go to the top?
Amen. God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Oh, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus' last name is not Christ. Christ means the anointed one, and he's called the Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one. Now, anointing means the Holy Spirit. That's that power. Now, when a man or woman has the anointing, and that's the Holy Spirit, what it is, it's as though Jesus took himself and rubbed himself on you. He rubs himself on your lips, on your eyes, on your hands, and he rubs himself on you. And you say that man or woman is anointed. Like a shepherd would take the olive oil and rub it into the little lamb to keep the bugs away. The anointing makes the bugs go away. But what he's saying is, there are gifts and there are measures of the anointing. And you want that. You want to seek that. Not for fame or fortune or not for show, but so you can help the poor, lost, miserable people. And so, he gives you that. But what John is saying, if you've got the oil rubbed on you and you're the anointed, it's like the oil is rubbed on you, oil symbolizing Holy Spirit, you understand? The Holy Spirit covers you. Jesus is the whole bottle of oil. He's the anointed one. See?
35. The Father loveth the Son.
The Father loveth the Son. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. True love, anywhere, anyhow, the two always become one in spirit.
And hath given all things unto his hand.
After Jesus paid our sin debt, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, died, arose from the grave, and ascended back to heaven, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he went on to sit at the right hand of Almighty God right now, where he is ever living to make intercession for us. Now you say, it doesn't look like he's got power. Look at the evil going on. No, the evil ones are like a mad dog on a leash. And Jesus holds that rope. And at the right time, he's going to reel them in. Jesus is King of Kings. He is right now sovereign. Of his government, there shall be no end. And pretty soon, he's going to put an end to this evil and take his rightful place in the universe as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
36. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life.
Now last week you might remember that the Greek word for everlasting life means from the time God created you in the world that then was, you were not in a flesh body then, you came from God, there has never been a pause in your existence. Should you die tonight, what the world says die, there would be no pause. It would be as though you stepped from this room into that room, because Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God is life. Death has no place in God. And you have eternal life.
And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Jesus prayed in the garden that the cup of wrath be taken. What he meant was, when I come back, I'm going to have to pour that wide mouth bowl, those seven vials of wrath, out on the world, all those who are worshiping the Antichrist. And finally, at the end of the millennium, the lake of fire will come into existence. It does not in existence now. Luke 16 says, those who are lost on one side of the gulf and those who are saved on the other. And so, then hell really comes into place. That's the lake of fire. Satan, as fallen angels and all who worship him will walk into the lake of fire, perish from within, be blotted out, and be no more. That's the final wrath.
John chapter 4, verse 1.
Now, you might like to entitle this The Woman at the Well, and you're going to say, I know that story, I've heard that story, that's a sweet story. If you've never heard it before, you say, oh, this is great, I'll turn on the TV and hear this good story here that Sherry's going to tell us. No, no, no. Let's go to level 3. You, men of God, women of God, boys and girls of God, you are the woman at the well. The woman is considered the weaker sex and the man the stronger. Jesus is the bridegroom and we the church of the bride. Men and women, the woman at the well is you. And you are thirsty.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee.
Now, Jesus had a big crowd, but of course they were coming because he was doing these miracles. Jesus had so much respect for John the Baptist that he knew what the phony church leaders were doing. They were coming to divide and conquer. And he knew John Baptist still had work to do. So see, Jesus didn't come to be a big shot preacher and draw a crowd. He came to die, to die, to die to defeat death, whose name is the devil. So he just moves out, not to give any fuel to the fire, and gives John his hour.
Verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria.
Now, to get to Galilee, he had to go through this place called Samaria. Samaria had a very bad reputation to the tribes of Israel. Here's why. David had a son named Solomon, and Solomon had a son named Rehoboam, David's grandson. When David's grandson Rehoboam took the throne of Israel, all 12 tribes were together, but they had a spat. And so two of them split and called themselves the House of Judah. That was Benjamin and Judah, and always some of the Levite priests are in every tribe. The other 10 tribes called themselves the House of Israel. Now, this was before the Assyrian Sennacherib captured them and brought them all over the world and back into America. They moved into Samaria, and God told them, even though you separated from Jerusalem, you still, you 10 tribes, you have to go up to Jerusalem to worship God because the temple is there. Well, the 10 tribes in Samaria got lazy. They built themselves 2 golden calves and said, we will worship here. That's 2 Kings 17. You can read it later. And so they were looked down upon because they were worshiping 2 golden calves. The 10 tribes, you know, finally migrated over the Caucasus Mountains into Europe, into America. The 10 tribes are still worshiping the golden calf. America, repent.
Verse 5, then cometh he unto a city of Samaria, called Sychar.
Sychar means intoxicate. Remember, Jesus turned the water into wine. You drink too much wine, you get intoxicated.
Near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph.
Now, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He was Abraham's grandson. He had a son, Joseph, of many colors. This well was 9 feet wide and 75 feet deep. In biblical numerics, 9 is a number of completion, and 7 and 5 are 12, number of government. In other words, this well, and okay, you're coming to the well, this well has enough water in it to nurture and give life to all of God's children, all of his government, for all time, forever and ever.
6. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the wall, and it was about the 6th hour.
That means it was about 12 noon. It was very, very hot. Now, we're going to find out that his disciples went on into town to buy some food. Now, you say, well, was Jesus being pampered? Why didn't he go with them to get the food? Here's why. By this time, he was so famous. Had Jesus gone into town, they would have mobbed him again. And he was partly human, you know. And he would have, because he loved them, he would have ministered. He would have prayed. He would have healed the sick. And would have poured out and poured out and poured out and poured out. But he had sense enough to come apart and rest a while. You have gifts and callings. And God gives you an assignment. Stay focused on that. Put the energies on that. There's always somebody else to pray for. There's always another good deed to do. That's good to do. But when you've got a task to do from God, put all of your energies there and keep your focus. Otherwise, you're disintegrated, your energies are scattered, and you'll not be your best for the Lord. Besides, Jesus has an appointment with a woman at the well. She doesn't know it. It's a date with God.
7. And there come a woman of Samaria to draw water.
Now, let's look at this. It's high noon. Why in the world is this woman coming out this hot day with a big pot over her head? Because the way they did this, all of the citizens would come, I call it happy hour. They would come at kind of just before it gets dark. They would all meet at the well and get their water, all of the citizens, and they would fellowship, happy hour. The women would talk about their children and cooking and sewing and stuff, and the men would talk about their work. And they all fellowship. But this woman comes when there's no one there. It's hot. That's heavy. It's a heavy burden to put that thing on your head. And it's hot. It's not fun. She's coming because she doesn't fit in with the happy hour crowd. And there's a reason for that. She is an outcast of society. But look who's at the well.
And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink.
Now, First of all, it was taboo for anyone of the house of Israel, a man, to ever open his mouth to a strange woman. It was politically incorrect. Jesus was politically incorrect. Thank goodness. He's still politically incorrect. I'm politically incorrect. Let's everybody be politically incorrect. Okay. So, see, it was taboo. So here's this woman. She thinks she's going to sneak in there and get her water so nobody will make fun of her. It's hard. It's hot. And lo and behold, there's a man, and if that's not enough, the man talks to her. Lord have mercy. She must be in shock.
Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, who is a woman of Samaria?
See, she knew it was a caste system. Now, she said the word Jew. I've already told you in English that is not correct. Eudas, it either means our brother Judah of that tribe, or it means the fake Judah, which is a Kenite. In this case, it's the real Judah. So she, how does she know Jesus is of the tribe of Judah? It's his dress. Jesus of the king line, the lion of the tribe of Judah, through Mary's father Heli, you can read that in Luke 1 and 2. And, but Jesus was also of the Levitical priesthood by Mary's mother. So Jesus is our king, tribe of Judah, and he is our priest, tribe of Levi. But Jesus was of Nazareth. He had taken the vow of the Nazarene. You can read that in the Old Testament, the law. And they had a certain way to pull their beard, and they wore a priest cap called a mitre on the head, and it had a shawl. So she saw, oh my goodness, this is one of those people, the Israelites.
For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Because Judah and everybody up there in Jerusalem, those two tribes thought they were better than they. We don't worship golden calves. A little bit holier than thou.
Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God.
Did you hear what Jesus did? He just said, hey, you know who I am, woman? I'm the gift of God. If Donald Trump had said that, the media would have had his lunch. Now, you have a gift. It is not wrong to know your gift. I mean, when I was a young girl, and I used to go around to different churches, and they would need somebody to say, is there anybody in this assembly that can play the piano? I'd wait and see. I'd say, I can play the piano. It wasn't proud. I love to serve the Lord. I mean, I can play the piano. Duh? Okay. Okay. Know and find out your gifts and your giftings. It's not pride. You're given gifts so you can serve God. So Jesus had just told Nicodemus, he said, God so loved the world that it gave his only begotten son. So Jesus says, woman, I'm the gift of God.
And who it is that saith to thee,
if you knew who I am,
me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given unto thee living water.
All right. Jesus is the great I am. Moses is the burning bush. Saw the bush burning, and he said, God, what's your name? God spoke Hebrew, and he said, Aya, Asha, Aya, I am that I am. Jesus, the great I am, is sitting on the well for a woman who is hurting, who's outcast, who's thirsty. Have you been there?
11. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with.
You don't even have a bucket. She doesn't understand this is a spiritual divine appointment. You don't have a bucket.
And the well is deep.
Analyze. You keep trying to figure out God, you're going to figure him away.
From whence then hast thou that living water? 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob?
You notice there was one thing in her she had held on to. Our father Jacob. Somewhere in her, she did know she had a goodly heritage, and that must have kept her glued together. You have a goodly heritage, no matter where you've been or what you've done. God so loved the world and sent his son for you. You are important. You are loved by God. You're wanted by God. And yes, you are needed for God. He needed someone just like you to make him happy.
Give us the well. And drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle.
I mean, he, this well, just gave everybody life, all of his cattle.
13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again. 14. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life.
Now Jesus would later say to you, you are saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit symbolized by water. If you let a whole big pile of water go, it has power. Now, you are a spirit. You're in a flesh pot. But when you're saved and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit comes and resides inside of you. The belly is a symbol of the center of you, where you are. And so therefore, when the anointing comes on you, like a baby kicks in your belly, out of your belly flows this power. And it comes up through your chest and out through your arms like a conduit and onto your hands. And your hands become the sprinkler and showers of anointing. And you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Or your mouth speaks the word of God and demons flee. Hallelujah. And God is exalted. Hallelujah. Out of your belly. You can get this so refined, he will do it for you. I literally feel it. You see me do it all the time. I lay hands on the sick. I literally feel the kick. Like a woman feels the kick of a baby in a womb. This is available for every one of you. All you have to do is die to yourself and let him take over.
Amen. 15. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw.
Please give me this. I won't have to come out here and do this old hard work anymore.
16. Jesus said to her, go, call thy husband.
Uh-oh. Now he stopped preaching, going to meddling. Now, Jesus has the most beautiful way. It always looks like Jesus abruptly changes the subject. Watch his life. I love that. I just laugh every time I get it. No, Jesus knows how to cut through the bull and get to the base of what you need. So he knew, go call your husband. Now, let me tell you, that woman stopped. Let me tell you, that woman cried. In Bible times, when you were married legally, if the husband didn't like your looks the next morning, he could divorce you. If he got tired of you or bored, the honeymoon's over, he could divorce you. We're going to find that this has happened to her. Rejection, 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 rejection. Jesus got to where she was hurting. You want to help people? Go to their heart. Hear their heart.
And come to the 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband.
I don't have a husband.
He said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. 18, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband.
All right. She'd been rejected and kicked out of the house five times, legally married. And now the one she was living with didn't love her enough to marry her and made her go and fetch the water. Now you'll say, now wait a minute. Now I've stopped being the woman at the well. No. Some of you have had five spiritual husbands. You married ambition. An ambition failed you, divorced you. You married cocaine, but you need another hit. You married alcohol, but it divorced you and left you dry. You need some more. You married pornography, but you've got to see it again. You married yourself. That's the worst mate of all. Because when all you do is love me, myself, and I, me, myself, and I, me, myself, and I, you are a miserable mate. And all of these husbands, you know yours, you married them, and they have failed you. And so you need a real husband.
And thou saidest thou truly. 19, and the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Good Lord, you must be, must know something.
Frankie, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem where men ought to worship. 21, and Jesus said unto her, woman, believe.
Now, woman is not disrespectful. It is, it means madam. In the manuscripts, it means madam. It's respectful there.
The hour cometh when we shall neither in this mountain or yet in Jerusalem worship the Father.
Okay, you won't have to go to Jerusalem or this mountain or that church or that place. Now, you are to assemble yourselves together. It's not the place.
22. Ye worship you know not what.
You're worshiping golden calves. You don't know what you're worshiping.
We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Meaning that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus' name means Yahweh's Savior. Jesus is salvation. The salvation was sitting on the well talking to the woman.
23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
God is a spirit. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You are a spirit. You don't realize that half the time because you always worry about your clay pot. So, if he's a spirit, and you're going to worship him, your spirit has to worship him. See, I can say, let's put our hands up. We'd all put our hands up. And that's right to do because we start. But it must be the Holy Spirit that puts your hands up. I can say hallelujah. But it must be the Holy Spirit that says hallelujah. So from this time on, the rule is in this church, stop with the flesh. Let every ounce of your spirit worship him. Cut loose. And adore him, because it's like you have a child, and the child is human and you're human, and the child says, I love you, and so the child gives you love. You also have a puppy. The puppy loves you, but he's not a human, and the puppy barks, but the puppy can't give you the love the child gave you because he's a puppy. So your flesh cannot worship him like your spirit can. He is the spirit, and you are a spirit. So cut loose and fly and soar like an eagle and worship him in spirit and in truth. God seeks such to worship him. Hallelujah. There is a face and a power all over this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Well, I hate to leave you on the edge there, but it's time now for a mystery moment. We'll pick it up right there. And questions and answers to help you understand God's word. I want to welcome my twin friend, Scott Merson. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hi, Miss Sherry. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
That was a great word.
Thank you.
We have a first question. Comes and they by somebody who wants to know, is there a spiritual meaning of the crown of thorns pierced into Jesus' head?
Absolutely. In the Judges chapter 9, there's a bramble tree, which means a thorn tree, and it's a symbol of Satan. And in the first prophecy in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, of the Savior Jesus, God tells the serpent, who is the devil, who is the thorn tree, he says, her seed shall bruise your head, meaning Mary's seed, Jesus, would bruise the devil's head by defeating death. So Satan said, I'm going to get in the first punch. Remember, the serpent was not a snake, he was the devil. So he had that was bugging him. God said, her seed's going to bruise my head, and he knew that Jesus was her seed. So Satan said, I'm going to bruise your head, Satan. So that's why he put the crown of thorns.
We know who gets the last punch.
Yeah, Jesus really got the last punch because Jesus defeated death.
Our next question comes from somebody who wants to know, what is the meaning of the word fish in Greek?
The word, Greek word is ichthus, and it means Jesus Christ, Son of God. The early Christians were persecuted, so many times when they were going to have word and prayer in their homes, they had church in their homes, they would draw a symbol of a fish out there, ichthus, Jesus Christ, Son of God.
And we have a third question. A caller wants to know, do the two witnesses become apparent at the same time the Antichrist appears?
No, they actually come a little while earlier. Revelation 11 gives you a number there. It averages out about 10 days, but I don't want to put a date on it. They will appear on the scene. They will be preaching and teaching, and that they always have the Elijah anointing of the two fathers. And that would be to encourage the 7,000 elect of Romans 11 that would not be deceived. So thank God. That is God's love. They appear on the scene. Doesn't mean they aren't on the scene now, but they appear on the scene a little while before Antichrist comes, just a few days.
Okay. And our last question is from a caller who wants to know, who says, I sow the seed, I sow the word, but very few receive the word. What am I doing wrong?
You're not doing anything wrong. God bless you for sowing the word of God. The Bible in the poetry book says, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening do the same, one or the other shall grow. In the parable of the sower, Mark 4 and Matthew 13, Jesus gives that parable. And he says, we sow the word, and some is so hard, there's not even one drop of pour for that word to go in, and the birds take it away, they don't even get it, they just look at you, duh. And then others, you sow on stony ground. Now, in a piece of stone, sometimes there's just enough a little water and dirt for a little something to sprout. And it says it sprouts, and they say, anon, they like it, but then when persecution for the word, somebody says, what are you thinking, you talking about the Bible? Because of persecution, they drop away. They don't stay. You don't know anybody like that? And then he says, you sow on thorny ground. It grows up with the thorns, but the thorn, you know who the thorn is, choke it away. The cares and the desires and lust of life and the pressures take the word away. But Jesus says, some of that will sow on good seed, as good soil, and it will produce fruit 30, 60, 100. You're doing a great job. You keep on sowing. Sow the word, sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing seeds of love. We are the sowers, and God is the grower.
Amen.
Thank you, Scott. God bless you, dear. God bless you. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate you. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. If you're not saved, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Please pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Teach me your word.
Teach me your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now for those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, my Father, I pray. O Holy Spirit, move north, south, east, and west. Let the healing energy be released. Wherever there is pain, let the pain stop. Let silences be healed. Let the drainage stop. Let ringing in the ears stop. Let deaf ears hear. Let gums and teeth be healed. Let spinal cords be healed. Let bruises be healed. Let something missing grow again. Let people in wheelchairs pick up your wheelchair and walk. Let strength and power come to your limbs and your arms. Let lungs breathe and hearts be healed. Livers and pancreas and gallbladders and kidneys and livers and spleens and appendix and breast and skin and ears and heads and brains. Memory come back to the brains. Feet and toes. Blood be healed. Purify the blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. From the top of the head, the soles of your feet. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you were saved or if you were healed, my announcer is about to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call me and leave that message. Call me for questions or prayer requests or just anything you want to tell me. And now, my love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. Vincent Lombardi was very successful. And the reporters asked him, why are you successful? Is it your great intelligence? Is it your great talent? Vince Lombardi said, no, intelligence is great, and talent is great. But a lot of people who are genius are very talented on Skid Row. Vince Lombardi says, it's perseverance. Perseverance wins. Jesus said, importunity, shameless persistence. Whatever vision has given you, though you're in a dry land, though all doors seem to be closed, persevere. Bloom right where you're planted. Stay with the vision. Stay true. Stay focused. Don't give up. Instant in season. Instant out of season. When you feel like it, when you don't quit. Perseverance wins. Hallelujah. And you will win. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I love all of you, and God bless you. You want to make sure that you don't keep this word. It's not yours to keep. It's a sin. You're going to implode if you keep it. Anything you get is yours to give away, and God will give you more. Wait now for my announcer to give you my telephone number and call me. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you, and I love you, and I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Forgiveness. I have pondered the mystery of grace. All that we hold in mind. your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Befriended by the King above all kings. Surrender to a friend above all friends. Invited deep into this mystery. Delighted by the wonders I have seen. This will be my story. This will be my song. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have my heart. Astounded that your gospel beckoned me. Surrounded, but I've never been so free. This will be my story. This will be my song. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have my heart. This will be my story. This will be my song. A song I sing. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have my heart. Determined now to live this life for you. You're so worthy. My greatest gift will be the least you're due. This will be my story. This will be my song. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have my heart. This will be my story. All you've done in me. And this will be my song. Savior, Jesus, you will always have my heart. You're so worthy. My greatest gift would be the least you're due. Jesus, you're so worthy. My greatest gift would be at least your due. My greatest gift would be at least your due.
live in the wonder of your love. You rise like the sun in my heart. Even when the night draws near me, there you are. I will wait in the water of mercy. I will walk in to run.